Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Radha Kunji Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Navadip Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Ganga Mahi Ki Jai Jamana Mahi Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Welcome back. Does your question come before or after we chant the chapter? This is chapter 3, Tritiya Adhyaya. Arjuna Uvacha, Jayasi Chet Karmanaste, Mata Bhuktir Janardana, Tatkim Karmaniko Hemam, Nijo Jayasi Keshava, Yamishrene Vavakena, Bhutim Mohayasiva Me, Tadekam Vadanishchitya, Yena Shreyo Hamapnuyam Shri Bhagavan Vacha Lokesin Vibhadishta Pura Prokta Mayanaka Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam Karma Namanaram Han Naishkarnam Vishroshite Nacha Sanyasanareva Siddhin Samadhigachati Nahi kachit shanam api jatu tisthacha karma krit karyate yavasha karma sarva prakriti jayargunai karmendriyani samyamya yaste manasasmanan indriyartan vimuntatma nityachara sukshate yasvindriyani manasa niyamya rakhaterjana Karmendriyaya karma yogam asakta sa vishishyate Niyatam kudu karma swam karma jayogya karma naha Shadira yatra pitate na prasityeta karma naha Yagyartat karma non yatra loko yam karma vantaha Tadartam karma konteya mokta sangha samachara Sahayagya prajashrishtva Udovacha prajapatihi Anena prasavishyasvam Eshavo svishtakamadhuk Devan bhavayatanena
Te deva bhavayantuvaha
Parasparam bhavayanta
Shreya param avapsyata
Ishtam bhoganivo deva
Dasyate yajna
bhavitaha Vairdhatamapradayavyo Yogvumte sneena eva saha Yagyashishtashinak santo Muchyante sarva kildishai
Kunjate Chetravam Papa Ye Prachastyatma Karana Anyad Bhavati Bhutani Parjanyad Anna Sambhavaha Yagyad Bhavati Parjanyo Yagya Karma Samudvavaha Karma Brahmod Bhavam Vidhi Brahmakshara Samudvavam Tasmat Sarvagatam Brahma Nityam Yagye Pratishtitam Evam Pravartitam Chakram Nanu Vartayati Hayaha Akayur Nityaramo Mokam Partha Sadivati Yasvat Bhagatir Evasyad Atma Tristas Samanavaha Atmanyeva Chasantrustas Tasyakaryam Navidyate Nayeva Tasyakane Narto Nakatene Vakasjana Najasya Sarvabhuteshu Kachidartha Vyapashrayaha Tasmada Sakta Satatam Karyam Karma Samachara Asakto Yacharam Karma Paramabnoti Pushkaha Karma Naiva Hisamsidhim Asita Janakarayaha Lokasangrahame Bhavi Sampashyan Kartumarhasi Yad Yadacharati Shreshtas Dattane Vetaro Janaha Sayat Pramanam Kurute Lokasta Naduvartate Nahi Partname Partasti Kartavyam Trishu Lokeshu Kinchana Nanavapta Vavaptavyam Varta Eva Chakarmani Yadi Yaham Navarteyam Jatu Karmanya Hundrataha Mama Vartan Vartante Manushya Parsa Sarvashaha Utsi De Yuri Medoka Nakuryam Karma Chedaham Sankarasya Chakartasyam Upahanyam Imaprataha Sakta Karmanya Vidvamso Yata Kurmanti Bharata Kurmad Vidvamsata Saktas Chatir Shur Loka Sankraham Na Buddhi Vedam Janayet Agyanam Karma Sanginam Doshayet Sarva Karmani Vidvan Yukta Samacharan Prakrte Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvashaha Ahamkara Vibhutatma Kataham Iti Manyate Tattva Vittu Mahabaho Guna Karma Vibhagayo Guna Gunesha Vartanta Iti Matva Nasajjate Prakriter Guna Sammutha Sajjate Guna Karmasu Dana Krishna Vido Mandam Krishna Vinna Vichalaye Mayi Sarvani Karmani Sanyajyastam Chetasa Nirashir Nimamo Hutva Yudhyashva Vigatashvara Ye Ne Matam Idam Nityam Anutishanti Manava Shatavanto Nasuyanto Mushyante Devi Karma Bhi Ye Tveta Dabhyasuyanto Nanatishanti Me Matam Sarva Gyana Vimudham San Vidhi Nashtana Chetasaha Sadrasham Chetate Svasya Prakriter Gyanamanavi Prakriti Bhutani Nikrahakim Karishyati Indriyasyendriyasyarte Ragadvesho Vyavastito Tayorna Vashamagachit Kojasya Paripantino Shrayan Svatarmo Viguna Paratarmat Svanushtitat Svatarme Nidhanam Shreya Paratarmo Payavaha Arjunu Vacha Atakena Prayuktoyam Pabam Shradati Purushaha Anichan Api Varshneya Palayiva Niyojataha Shri Bhagavan Vacha Amahesha Krodhahesha Rajo Guna Samudhavaha Mahasano Mahapapma Vidyenam Ihavairinam Dhumena Vriyate Vanir Yatadarsho Malenacha Yatodena Vrito Garbhas Tadatene Namavritam Avritam Gyanametena Yanino Nityavairina Amarupena Kondeya Dushpurena Nadenacha
इंद्रियाणि मनो बुद्धि अस्याति स्थानम् जायते इदं विमोहाय
देशा ज्ञानमावृत्य देहिनां तस्मात् त्वम् इन्द्रियाण्यादो नियम्य भरतर्षभा पापमानं प्रतिहीयेनं ज्ञानं विज्ञाननाशनम् इन्द्रियाणि परान्याहुर् इन्द्रियेभ्यः परं मनः मनसास्तु परा बुद्धिर् यो बुद्धे परतस्तु सः एवं बुद्धे परं बुद्ध्वा संस्तभ्यात्मा महाबाहो
ॐ तत्सत् इति श्रीमद्भगवद्गीतासूपनिषत्सु ब्रह्मविद्यायां योगशास्त्रे श्रीकृष्णार्जुनसंवादे कर्मयोगो नाम तृतीयोऽध्यायः. Okay, we have something to look up here. Yes, sir, you have a question.
Chapter 3, verse 3, Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada says, religion without philosophy is sentiment or sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. What is the context?
The context is text 3.
And how it is? Is it an analogy? Or
I'm looking to see what Prabhupada... It's not an analogy, but let's see. Oh, he's talked... The context is he's saying that Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga are interdependent, like religion and philosophy.
Sankhya Yoga is matched with religion and...
As these two are interdependent, so these two are interdependent also.
But they're not 1:1.
No. Not exactly 1:1.
So is it right to say that Sankhya Yoga without Buddhi Yoga is mental speculation and Buddhi Yoga without Sankhya Yoga is sentimental practice?
That Sankhya Yoga without...
Without Buddhi Yoga is mental speculation.
Sankhya Yoga without Karma Yoga or practical activity,
yeah,
practically becomes mental speculation.
And Buddhi Yoga without Sankhya Yoga is sentimental practice?
Yeah, in that way, Prabhupada's doing it. So more or less, that's... He doesn't one-to-one correspond them, but he does give that.
Sasif is not one-to-one.
He doesn't say it's one-to-one, but you can apply it there if you like.
And will that be correct to apply so?
Yeah, why not? Just don't make it that's the only way to apply it. A wonderful line from Srila Prabhupada, classic line. Religion without philosophy is mental speculation. Philosophy without religion. Yeah.
Philosophy without religion is mental speculation.
Mm-hmm.
Religion without philosophy is sentiment.
Mm-hmm. And
all right.
And orison is spelled O-R-I-S-O-N.
I have a question.
Yes, you do.
The modern thinkers and philosophers and scientists, they do practice this empirical learning and mental speculation. However, they don't seem to get near knowing the difference between matter and spirit. And here it seems to suggest in Bhagavad Gita that this is a path that does lead you to...
Because they're acting without proper guidance. And also, one might say, without piety. That is to say, if you have guidance and you're analyzing, then you'll get the right idea. Or if you're fortunate, if you have a lot of punya, then when you analyze, your brain will be working in a fortunate way, and you'll say, oh, there's a difference between this and this. If you're unfortunate, if you have kukarma, bad background, then by analysis, even with guidance you won't understand it, by your own intellectual powers you won't understand it. Like, what is that Prahlad Maharaj says? Mito vipadyeta griha vritana. Matirna krishne paratosa toga. Those who've taken a vow to live like materialists will never be attracted to Krishna. Similarly, if they're too darn materialistic, even though the analysis will be clear for a person who is fortunate, for them it won't be because they're unfortunate.
When you say guidance, do you refer to a descending type of guidance?
Yeah, yeah. Even, you know, you want to know what this is? Ask your father. He says, this is a watch. This is this, this is this. Or he steps you through it. He says, you know, you have a chemistry problem. So you go to your father and he says, well, let's figure this out. And he gives you some guidance. And you figure it out, but you figure it out, you know, with hints and helps and so on. Or Socrates was guiding his students, you know, and he would pull it out of them. Well, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And so they would come to the conclusion, because they weren't just free-floating. They were thinking. They were thinking with guidance.
The idea was that of a reminiscence, that we actually know all this, but we're just remembering.
No, not necessarily reminiscence.
No, but Socrates. So.
Oh, well, yeah, we won't get into his whole... But yeah, he had some idea that the student had it in him. Okay. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vinanta Shamiti Nami Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaudavani Pracharane Nibhishesha Srimadaya Pashti. We have been discussing Karma Yoga. Arjuna asked Krishna to straighten out this apparently equivocal matter, where it seemed that on one side Krishna was telling him to use his intelligence, and on the other side he's telling him to fight. So what do you want me to do, be a philosopher or a fighter? That question comes, and Krishna has said that you can understand the self by Sankhya Yoga, analytical philosophy, or by Karma Yoga, but Karma Yoga is better. Then he's pointing out that you can't even maintain your body without working. You can't stop working even for a moment. It's not possible. Then, but the person who... the person who's working with self-restraint, but whose mind is all over the place, thinking of sense gratification, he is a pretender. Mithyachara uchite. On the other hand, a sincere person trying to control the senses by the mind and taking up the process of karma yoga is better. Niyatam karma, kudu karma tam, prescribed activities. This point keeps coming up. It's not just work. It's not that just one should be busy, 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 but one should be engaged in prescribed activities. And now we're moving on from text 9, where again, yes. Yagyartha, very important verse, Prabhupada quotes very often. Yagyartha karmanon yacha loko yam karma bandana. Tarartam karma kontiya mukta sangha samachara. It's very interesting here to see Prabhupada's method of explication, his way of explaining the meaning of the verse. Yagyartha means, artha means what?
For the sake of.
For the sake of. Yeah, artha means wealth, but here artha means for the sake of. For the sake of yagya. Yagyartha karmanaha. One should work for the sake of yagya. Now, what is yagya? It's sacrifice, huh? One should work for the sake of sacrifice. One should work for the sake of sacrifice. And we'll find, as we're moving along in this chapter, who is the sacrifice performed for? Yeah?
Actually, you'll find in the chapter that there's so many sacrifices that are to be performed for the demigods. It'll come in the next verses. There's so many sacrifices. Indra Yajna. What are some of the other yajnas?
Kali.
Kali Puja, Indra Yajna. So many different kinds of yajnas. Ganesh Yajna, Indra Yajna, this yajna, that yajna. So many sacrifices performed for different demigods. And we say, what is that? This is for Indra, not for me.
Indraya.
Namama. This is for Indra, it's not for me. This is for Ganesh, it's not for me. So one is sacrificing to the various demigods. But here, Srila Prabhupada glosses yajna as meaning both sacrifice and
Vishnu.
Lord Vishnu. How does he get off doing that? On what grounds, what justification can he possibly have for doing that?
Krishna has the name yajna.
Yeah, here it said, yajna vai Vishnu. And according to the Vedas, yajna is performed for Vishnu, and right, another name of Vishnu, therefore, is yajna. There's no difference between yajna and Krishna. We find in the third canto that when Lord Bhur appeared, he was being offered prayers as being yajna personified, and the different parts of his body were being compared to the different ingredients for yajna. And we know that Krishna is the sum total of all the demigods, the reservoir of all the demigods. So if we're worshipping Krishna, we're worshipping all the demigods. Or you're performing all the demigod sacrifices by worshipping Krishna. The Govardhan Leela is very significant in this regard. Someone has pointed out that it's like a parody of the great sacrifices performed in the Vedas for Indra. You know, they have these big Indra yajnas, and they offer so much to Indra, and it's a big deal. You offer so much ghee and grains and mantras and all this to satisfy Indra. And Krishna says, what are you doing this for? Well, it's kind of traditional. Don't bother with this. Let's do a Govardhan yajna. Offer everything to Govardhan Hill, which is to say, offer it to me. So all of this stuff that's meant for Indra gets offered to Krishna. And Indra has to stand there fuming because nothing's getting offered to him. So by this Indra, this pastime of Govardhan Leela, Krishna is demonstrating that all yajnas should be performed to satisfy him. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha. Later in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will say, I'm the real enjoyer of all, Lord and enjoyer of all sacrifices. Aham hi sarva yajnanam.
He's re-establishing the principles of religion.
So this is the principle. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha. So here Srila Prabhupada therefore glosses sacrifice as sacrifice for Vishnu. See how he does that? Prabhupada one time, one professor complained that Prabhupada's method of translation was just to put Krishna everywhere. And Prabhupada said, yes, he has understood.
It's a criticism, but he's trying to criticize.
Yeah. It's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, wherever you see that word Brahma, read Krishna. The Mayavadis, they read the impersonal Brahma, or they read Aham, myself. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, wherever you see Brahma, it means Krishna. So in this way, Prabhupada is reading Bhagavad Gita as a devotee of Krishna, and that's legitimate. Prabhupada quoted, Rahasyam Yeta Rutama. What is that? Bhaktosi Me Sakache. Because you're my devotee, you can understand the confidential meaning of Bhagavad Gita. That means Bhagavad Gita is meant for the devotee. He's the proper reader of Bhagavad Gita. So here, Prabhupada takes yajna to mean Krishna, or Lord Vishnu. And all activities should be performed, all duties, karma, should be performed to satisfy Vishnu. Anyatra, otherwise, loko yam karma bandhana. The work will lead to entanglement in this material world. Very simple. Either work for Krishna or work for Maya. Yes?
Like this says, in the purport to the 11th verse, Srila Prabhupada says, some of the yagyas are meant to satisfy particular demigods, but even in so doing, Lord Vishnu is worshipped in all yagyas as the chief beneficial.
Yes. You can't perform a yajna without chanting the name of Lord Vishnu and offering obeisances to Lord Vishnu. In this way, even the demigod worshippers are elevated by worship of Vishnu.
Then he quotes Bhaktaram Yajnasat.
He quotes that, yes. Where are you reading from?
The middle of purport to verse 11.
Oh, 11, okay. Bhaktaram Yajnasat.
Yeah,
okay, good. Any other questions or comments here? Yes.
Bhagavatam Srila Prabhupada says that when the ingredients are offered in yajna, fire of yajna, it is equal to like putting ghee and everything in the mouth of Vishnu.
Yeah. The fire represents Lord Vishnu.
Also, when the pure devotee eats prasadam, it's actually going in the mouth of Vishnu.
Yeah. Right. Good. So, tadartam karma kontiya, for his sake, or for the sake of sacrifice, one has to work. And then, mukta sangha, you'll get free from material contact. Mukta sangha samatra, by working perfectly. And Prabhupada explains at the end that nothing should be done for sense gratification, everything for Krishna. This will gradually save one from the reaction of work, not only save one from the reaction of work, but also gradually elevate one to transcendental loving service, to end which alone can raise one to the kingdom of God. Okay.
What does that Mukta Sangha mean?
Mukta Sangha Param Brajet. Yeah, from association. It means that you'll be a hermit. You won't associate with anyone. No. It means, sangha means association with the material world. Sense and sense objects, association with the three modes of material nature. Especially, it's our association with material nature since time immemorial that's responsible for conditioned life. You'll get free from that association of matter, ultimately. Yeah, you'll do. Well, let's see. Mukta sangha. No, it's not. Mukta sangha is not the, not the object. It's in subject case. Mukta sangha. So the person who's doing this, free from association, right? Where's my pandit? Mukta Sangha Samatra. Mukta Sangha is in subject case, right? In text 9?
Exactly, yeah.
So it doesn't mean do this, do Mukta Sangha. In being Mukta Sangha, you'll be acting perfectly. Okay? Where were you?
I'm sorry. Actually, I was reading the text number 11.
Just see.
I was thinking this is...
Our pundits, you know.
He's always ahead of us.
No, I'm sorry, I couldn't... I'm sorry, Maharaj.
Give these pundits a hard time, that's what I say.
Sir.
Sahayagya prajashrishtva purovacha prajapatihi anena prashavishyadvam eshavo srishtakamadhuk. Sahayagya means along with sacrifices. Prajashrishtva, creating generations of living beings along with sacrifice. Praja means those who are born. Praja, Shrishtva. Pura Uvacha, before he said Prajapati. Prajapati means who?
Progenitors.
Yeah, who's that?
Vishnu. Manu.
Daksha. Baba. Prajapati, Srila Prabhupada glosses as Lord Vishnu. One of the commentators, I forget which one, glosses it as Brahma. He's also Prajapati. But Prabhupada here, right?
I think this is Vishwanath Chakravarti.
Is it Vishwanath who glosses it as Brahma?
I think because Maharaj, I'm reading a commentary. It's a Bengali written commentary. So there is a mention whose commentary I was reading.
Okay.
So tomorrow I'll tell you.
Okay. So I think you're right, it's Vishwanath or Baladev, but I think it's Vishwanath. Glosses it as Brahma, but take it either way. Brahma's Lord Vishnu's agent. So either Lord Vishnu or Lord Brahma said, do this. Prabhupada glosses it as Lord Vishnu, Prajapati, and then he quotes... Yeah, the Lord of all creatures, the Pati. The Lord, and Prabhupada quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam how Krishna is Pati in so many ways. Shriyapati, Yajyapati, Prajapati, Dhyampati, Lokapati, Dharapati. So in so many ways, Krishna is the Lord.
Lord Brahma is one of the creatures, his Lord is Lord Vishnu.
Excuse me?
Lord Brahma is also
one of the creatures. Yeah, so it's just... two ways of reading it. You can read it that Lord Vishnu sent forth all these creatures, including Brahma, and said to them such and such. Or that after Lord Vishnu created Brahma, Brahma sent out all these creatures and said such and such. Either way, the message is the same. And it's just a question of whether it's uttered directly by Lord Vishnu or by his agent. And again, that depends on which acharya you're reading. So, of course, we follow Prabhupada's reading, that makes life simple. But it doesn't mean that Vishwanath is wrong or someone says, no, Prajapati means Brahma. Oh, you're in Maya. There's room for reading it more than one way, which is something that as one gets to know the tradition more, one becomes accustomed to.
Yeah, Brahma is a second creator.
He's a secondary creator, so he's also Prajapati. But he's the Prajapati as the representative of the number one Prajapati, Krishna. But anyway, Prabhupada glosses it here as meaning Lord Vishnu and supports that by citation from Srimad Bhagavatam. And then what does the Prajapati say? Anena, by this sacrifice, prashavishyadvam, be more and more prosperous. Esha vo astu ishtakama dhuk. And by this method, you'll get everything desirable. This is another editorial item of interest. The first edition said, it will be thou happy by this yajna, because its performance will bestow upon you all desirable things. And here we have everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. Well, where is that in the Sanskrit? Well, it looks like those editors are speculating again. But that's what Srila Prabhupada had in his original manuscript. And we find in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's edition of Bhagavad Gita, you are a dog. I said, you're a dog. Right. Remember who's who here. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Bhagavad Gita edition, oh.
You promised me something.
All right, you're a demigod. Now, please, leave us alone. That works, okay. He's on his way to the heavenly planets. He's a happy dog.
He was born here in this park.
Hey, lucky dog.
He was a puppy last year.
Okay. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives this version that by this yajna you'll live happily and achieve liberation. That's everything desirable. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has unpacked all desirable things in this way, and Srila Prabhupada has followed his version. Yes.
Here also Bishwanath Chakraborty Pad is commenting same statement.
Same thing, huh?
Same thing. This is the Bishwanath Chakraborty Pad's commentary.
So whether Prabhupada took it from Vishwanath or probably Baladeva follows same thing, or took it from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our acharyas are saying this. It's not speculative. This is their opening up, unpacking of all desirable things, kamadut, ishta, all desirable things, ishta kamadut.
When it is said ishta dev, there ishta is desirable deity.
Yeah, the chosen deity, desirable deity. That's not what's here, but that's there. Okay, any other... Finally, Prabhupada comments that the most important yajna to do in this regard is Devan Pavyatan Ena Te Deva Pavyantuva Parasparam Pavyanta Shreyaparam Avapshita. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you. And in this way, paraspara, bodhyanta paraspara, by mutual satisfaction, shreya paramavapsyata, you'll achieve the highest benefit.
But so far the sacrifices are being said, this is meant for Vishnu.
Yeah, and now it depends how you read it. Because one can take it, oh, one has to do these sacrifices for the demigods. But we take it, and in the context of Bhagavad Gita, we take it very legitimately, that these sacrifices are intended for Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he's satisfied, everyone's satisfied. What is that? Yasmin tushta jagat tushta? When he's satisfied, everyone is satisfied. Yeah, when... If you worship the demigods, they may be satisfied to some extent, but how satisfied they are is another question. But when you satisfy Vishnu, then the demigods are really satisfied.
They're satisfied because they're also getting their...
they get everything.
Or because they're happy that, oh, Vishnu is...
Both. What is that? Prano paharach yucha yatendriyanam. What is that verse? When you pour the water on the root of the tree, the whole tree is watered. When you put food in the stomach, the whole body gets the energy. So when we worship Krishna, all the demigods are being worshipped. They're getting everything. Otherwise, if you do your demigod worship, you're definitely going to leave somebody out. There's going to be some hungry demigods there someplace. Because you're just trying to water the individual leaves of the tree. That's not going to work.
Demigods are generally the Sakam Bhaktas. So they are so much attached to their portion of their sacrifice Yajna Bhag. So how it is that they are so much concerned to Lord Vishnu's satisfaction?
If Vishnu is satisfied, then they get the same thing. That I'm getting my portion, but if Vishnu gets his, he distributes to everyone. You give energy to the root of the tree, the leaves don't have to worry.
It's like Lord Krishna eating that piece of rice, a little bit of rice.
And yeah, then everybody, all the Muni's followers, Durvasa Muni, they were all dead. Any other questions here? Sir?
Why was Indra not satisfied?
Well, Indra was not satisfied because he disconnected himself from Vishnu. How do you disconnect yourself from Vishnu?
You're thinking about self.
Yeah, you become Bahirmukh. You turn away from Vishnu, you're disconnecting yourself. And then when he's satisfied, you're not satisfied. You offer something to the deity and somebody says, hey, I thought you were cooking that for me. Now how come you're all... he's envious. Why? He's disconnected himself. Otherwise, the devotee who's connected with you, Lord, you offer to the deity, he's happy. He knows, hey, I'm going to get the prasadam. He's happy, and he doesn't want it first. He wants the Lord to enjoy first. The demigods are like that. Something else. Okay.
The demigods being pleased by sacrifices. That means demigods are like antaryami?
No.
Like they know that we are praying to
God. There's some way that it's a technical thing, how the demigods get their portion. Vedic yajnas are like technical performances. And when you perform this thing in the right way, the demigods will get nourished. It's a technical science, you know. Vedic yajnas. You have to do it just right and then everything pulls together. Right mantra chanters, the right ingredients, the right altar facing the right direction, made with the right ingredients by the right Brahmins, everything. Big deal. That's why we're not doing those kind of yajnas these days.
It's very scientific.
Yeah. There are rules, you know. I saw some book. Some scholar, I think it was under his auspices, pulled together Brahmins, South Indian Brahmins, to do a sacrifice. And I forget which kind of sacrifice it was. One of the Vedic sacrifices. And it took, like, I don't know how many years to actually organize this thing. Because you had to have this kind of Brahmin do this, and this kind of Brahmin do that, and this kind of Brahmin do this. And everything is very precise. You have to have these kind of bricks made by these kind of Brahmins, put in this kind of pattern on this kind of day, in this kind of circumstance, and this, and this, and this. So it requires, first of all, the right Brahmins. Where are the right Brahmins? You know, their sons are all going to medical school or engineering college or something like that. So, you know, where are these people? They're already, you know, a dying breed. And then you have to, you know, they're busy doing something to maintain themselves. So now you have to pull them in. It requires money. Pull the ingredients together. It's such a big deal that the scholar said that this would probably be the last time that this sacrifice would be performed. It took years and years and years to pull it together. They finally did it. And that was that. He said, probably it'll never be done again. Not, you know, gone are the days when kings would sponsor these sacrifices and they would be periodically done by well-qualified and well-remunerated Brahmins. That means they would get, you know, gold in hand and all of that. Cows and girls and, you know, whatever they wanted. Those were, you know, it's whatever the scholar could pull together from grants from his institution or what, you know, some sort of thing, and whoever. And Sankirtan Yajna? Any place, any time, any person, no price.
At the most,
Clapping of hands.
Clapping of hands. So what are we going to do in Kali Yuga?
Sankirtana.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
That's Yagya and Kali Yuga. Chant Hare Krishna.
Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishna Sango Panga.
Why is this called sacrifice? Because it's a sacrifice for materialistic mentality.
You're offering. What is the offering? We're offering the holy name to the Lord.
Prabhupada also says that the Yagya Purush for this age is Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah.
So he appears in this Yagya and he's satisfied.
Even I was reading one book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhajan Rahasya.
Mm.
So there, at the end, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is mentioning how we should offer our chanting to Mahaprabhu.
Mm.
At the end of the chanting, we finish the rounds and then
offer the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah. Are demigods dependent on Yagya, or are they suffering when they do not receive?
We hear that they get hungry and they lose, they get weak and all
they're
sorts.
Always happy.
That's mentioned here, paraspara, cooperation between the men and the demigods, so everybody becomes happy. Now, I've seen references like that someplace. The demigods
Kali Yuga,
are like,
they must be very
yeah, they're getting lean and thin, I suppose. Yeah. I don't know how they don't. I don't think they like Kali Yuga very much.
But is there Kali Yuga affected the higher planetary systems?
Well, it goes real quick. Kali Yuga is over in 15 minutes. But it's, you know, not
like Ekadashi.
It's not a happy season. Kali Yuga is not a happy season for anyone. Their pleasures and displeasures, the demigods, are dependent on the performance of yajñas by the human being. Okay. Ishtan bhogani vo deva dasyante yajña bhavitaha. The being satisfied by your sacrifices, the demigods will give you everything you need. They're in charge of all the different departments. So if you satisfy them either individually, you do something, it satisfies Shiva, he gives you something. You do something, you satisfy Devi, she gives you something. Or you satisfy the Lord, the personality of Godhead, then all the demigods are satisfied and they give you the things you need. Ishtan bhogan hivo deva dasyante yajna bhavitaha tayar dattan apradayai bhyo. But those who take the things given by the Lord and his agents, apradayai bhyo, without offering in return, yo bhunkte stena evasa. They're thieves. They're thieves. Stena means thief. You're supposed to use these things under license after offering to the Lord. And instead you walk away with them and appropriate them for yourself, and you're a thief. Any question about that? Krishna clearly says they're thieves. If we forget the purpose of human life and simply take supplies from the agents of the Lord for sense gratification, which is not the purpose of creation, certainly we become thieves. Yeah? Just suppose the government gives you a car and you go off and use it for sense gratification. You know, you go off and go to a nightclub or something. Whoa! You can be thrown in the brig, which is the military prison. Because it's a government car, the government gave it to you, now you're supposed to use it in the government service. Then the government becomes happy and you become happy. But if you think, wow, now I've got a car, whoa! That's how you get in trouble. Okay. Any question here?
Panchamaha yagna, five yagna.
Is that mentioned here?
Last paragraph, first paragraph.
Yes.
Well, maybe we may have at least five yagnas.
Where is the... Oh, yeah. These are traditional yajnas performed by the householders to counteract inadvertent sinful activities. Huh? But we're not doing Pancha Mahayagya, we're doing Pancha Tattva Mahayagya. Yajna Shishtashina Shanto Muchyante Sarva Kilbishai Bhunjate Te Tukham Papa Ye Pachantyatma Karanat. Very important verse for us. Yajna Shishta means offered food. Yeah. The food which has been first offered for sacrifice. So those who are eating that, yajna shishtashina, are santa, saintly persons, devotees, and muchyante, sarva kilbishai. They get relief from all kilbisha. Kilbisha means sins. By eating the food which is offered in sacrifice, one gets freed from all sins. Bhunjate te tugham papam ye pachanti atmakaranat. But those who are cooking, pachanti means cooking, for their own satisfaction, atmakarana, for their own interest, ye pachanti atmakaranat, bhunjate te tugham papam, they get big time sins. Agham papam means big time sins. So just the opposite. By eating food for sense gratification, you get entangled in sinful reactions. And by eating food, prasadam, you get free from sinful reactions. Simple. Any questions here?
Is there any comments like some people ask Srila Prabhupada, do Krishna really take prasadam? Have you seen? After that, will you be able to complete?
Huh?
Someone asked Prabhupada.
Yeah, so what did Prabhupada say?
That's what I forgot.
It takes bhoga, it doesn't take prasadam.
What's the use? You're giving me half the report. And someone asked the question, and you heard the question, you didn't hear the answer. Listen to the answers. Then come back and tell us tomorrow.
Yes, Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna will take the food.
Okay. What else did he say?
And we give guarantee on that.
Ah, okay. There's so many examples where the deity has shown that I'm eating pastimes. Apart from that, Prabhupada gave practical evidence. He said that, you know, you're cutting up this apple, and you're just cutting it up and saying some prayers and calling it prasadam. It's the same apple that I would eat, but you just, you know, you do your little rigmarole, and then you call it prasadam. So what's the, you know, what is that? And Prabhupada said, no, that actually it's prasadam, it has spiritual potency. How do we know? So many devotees have come by taking this prasadam. And not just because it's tasty, it's good, but we see somebody gets a little prasadam, and there's a change. Their consciousness changes.
There's one story in Heidelberg. They had a temple in Germany, and they closed that temple. And with the temple, they had a restaurant also, they closed it. 2 years later, they opened a shop, and they saw all people coming in that shop just to buy a little few sweet balls, professors, big people just to get some sweet balls. And a little bit, whatever prasadam they could.
We see practically. There's not only one story, there's millions of,
one practical example.
Who doesn't have a million prasadam stories, you know? And who doesn't have practical experience also?
I had tuberculosis 3 times. When I had the second tuberculosis and I was recovering from tuberculosis, any kind of prasadam was not very palatable for me. But that was at home. Then I went to the Juhu temple, ISKCON Juhu Mandir, and afternoon there was this brinjal is eggplant, which was so-called not cooked so very nicely. But I consumed a lot of it, and the next day I'm you were completely cured. Fine. Completely.
This is the cured. Cure for tuberculosis, also.
telling that he's eating that rum from Yagya is getting three promotions, but what about that Yagya sleeping that the people be offering meals and so on?
Well, those
getting three from soon.
Not very.
That yagya
is for the persons in ignorance. Something, they're making a little progress because they offer, they can't just eat any old meat. It's restriction. You have to offer such and such kind of meat, killed in such way, at such and such temple, offered to such and such deity, such and such mantras. So it's actually austerity for them. And in the course of it, they have to worship Vishnu. So there's some progress for them. No, they're making progress because they're doing that. Prabhupada had some argument with someone that, you know, meat eating is bad. Prabhupada said, no, meat eating is allowed. It's also there in the Vedic
with Yogi Bhajan.
System. It's there. But you have to do it according to the system.
So Vedic Yagya, there is no sin. Even though it's,
excuse me?
Vedic Yagya, there is no sin.
Yeah, if you follow your prescribed duties, you're getting freed from sin. Why? Because you're restricting.
What is that, mentioning about that full moon night, or offering the goat?
Right.
He's telling himself, if you are like, I'm eating the
goat, text number 12
in contract.
Yeah. It's not very progressive. After all, it's the mode of ignorance. But it is slightly progressive because he's following some restriction. It's like the person who's buying liquor, but he's buying it from the government store. You know, so because it's a government licensed store, all right, he's one step up from the guy who's distilling it in his backyard. And even we see those people who distill in their backyard, you know, they get poisoned and so many things. So this way he's getting authorized liquor, he's paying his taxes, he's gradually making some sort of, yes? These things are going on. So of course we're not encouraging the performance of yagya in the mode of ignorance, especially since in Kali Yuga, to make progress from, you know, ignorance gradually to passion, gradually to goodness, gradually to transcendence, will take you a million years. And who has the time?
As we read Bhagavad Gita, it's Atharva Veda, there is a Chandi, Durga Shaptashati. So there also sacrifices mentioned. Sacrifices are mentioned, not in that much in mode of ignorance as we understand and we do. The lion's share of the people nowadays, they simply do the sacrifice just to enjoy the illegitimate sex and this meat eating.
They do a quickie yagya and then, you know, go after their alcohol or their meat or their sex or whatever it is. So they're not even doing the yagya properly.
Actually, Nigam Shastra, there is no question of illicit sex and meat eating and all this stuff. Nigama. And Agama, in Agama. There is no question.
But someplace these things are there.
Yeah, but they offer it directly to the goddess.
Yeah.
No, they don't eat, they don't drink.
But someplace Prabhupada's...
Yeah, some places are there. But
okay. In any case, it's for the people who are really sick cases. Shall we go on? Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhavaha. Yagyad bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhavaha. Srila Prabhupada was quoting this verse many, many times. It's very practical. Who can deny Annad Bhavanti Bhutani. All living beings live on grains. Prabhupada said, even if you're living on meat, you're living on grains because the animals need grains. So grains are the basic principle. And it's practical. Just see how from the ground, you know, why is it like that? Why is it that you just take some dirt and put these little pellets in it and put water and get grains? It's Krishna's arrangement. You can't take like concrete and little, you know, ping pong balls or something and get grains. But Krishna's arranged that the earth is there, the water is there, the seeds are there. You put the seeds in the ground, you pour the water, and you get grains. So it's a miraculous arrangement by Krishna. It's Krishna's natural arrangement for providing for the living beings. So annad bhavanti bhutani. All the living beings depend on grains, ultimately. Annad bhavanti bhutani. And where do the grains come from? Parjanyad anyasambhava. They come from rain. Everyone knows if there's drought and drought, there's drought and drought, there's no rain, then the crops are affected, or there's no crop. So, or in the desert, you know, what do you get? So the grains depend on parjanya, rain. That's practical. Now Krishna says, yagyad bhavati parjanya. And the rains come from yagya. Nanda Maharaj told Krishna that because we're worshipping Indra, he's in charge of clouds and rain, so he's sending the rain regularly. And Krishna said, you worship, basically you worship me, I'm the one who's in charge of Indra. The rains come from me. Yagyad bhavati parjanya. And Prabhupada gave some practical example that he was in Hyderabad and there had been a drought for ages. And then they did Sankirtan Yajna and they had rain. There was some pastime, Gaur Govinda Marsh, same thing. There was
also
like,
in Dharavi, similar thing.
Where was that?
In Bombay also similar thing was done.
Same thing. Yeah. That, you know, just by Yajna, by Sankirtan Yajna, where there was no rain, suddenly there was rain.
You have a place like Holland where in ages no yagyas have been performed and it's raining always.
That's also not bad karma. Parjanya means regulated rain.
Only in the night,
seasonal,
not in the day.
That's the best thing.
It should be seasonal.
Should be seasonal. That's also a problem. If it rains out of season, then you're in difficulty again. And if it rains all the time, then you're in the soggiest country in the world. Like yours.
Somewhere Prabhupada also say that rain at the daytime is also not very good. Rain should be only at night. Or
it's good, but it's really appreciated when it's at night. You know, if it rains at night, you get all the benefit of the rain and you get all the benefit of the sunshine. So it's like best possible deal. Otherwise, you know, the farmer won't complain if it rains during the day. At least he gets his rain. But when it rains at night, you can work during the day and you get the rain during the night. It's perfect. And it should rain in season. That's the other thing.
Rain at the wrong time can actually ruin a crop.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, you've got a nice crop and then the rain comes at the wrong time and wipes you out.
Nowadays, there are some people paying for artificial rains by putting a seeds and nitrogen gas into the sky.
Yeah, they'll try artificial this, artificial that, because they're not in touch with the natural way of doing things. So Prabhupada's point here is yagyad bhavati parjanya. The regulated rains, proper rains, come from sacrifice. Yes?
Can we say, like, I give the example of Holland, where you have, like, okay, there's rain, but it's all unregulated and also not pious. Can you say that it's because of mixed pious activities and sinful activity that you get such...
Yeah, during, you know, by some, you know, you're not completely abandoned. The most sinful persons, you know, they have to live in the desert or they have to live in igloos or, you know, where there's no rain or there's no sun or there's no anything.
Alaska.
Alaska. Alaska
not quite as bad as it's made out to be. They have some.
Switzerland, they say, sunshine for a few months, no day, no night.
Yeah. There are different kinds of pious and less pious places. A place is pious where there's regular rainfall in season, where crops are growing abundantly.
Found even like from technical side that all the small food is getting like properly performed. The idea with the view is always like automatically making cloud collection and like almost like this.
I can't say. But the real thing is that the Lord becomes pleased by yajna. You are doing Sankirtan yajna, there's no smoke and ghee, but still the Lord becomes pleased and the result is there. And yajna karma samudvara. Where does yajna come from? It comes from karma. When you're performing your prescribed duties, then you're able to properly perform yajnas. Or a yajna is, yes, yajna is part of prescribed duties. So you work, you get some result, you offer the result according to Vedic injunctions. So the yajna comes from karma. Properly performed work. And where does work come from? Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam. Karma comes from the Vedas. One knows one works properly and performs proper prescribed duties when one follows the principles of the Vedas. And the Vedas come from Lord Vishnu. Or, yes, or they're non-different from Lord Vishnu. Tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam yagye pratishtitam. And therefore, the all-pervading absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, is always situated in yajna. So there's another progression for you. The rains, the grains come, all the living beings depend on grains. Grains come from rain. Proper regulated rain depends on proper performance of prescribed duties. Those prescribed duties come from the Vedas, and Krishna is there in the Vedas. So when you're performing yajna, you're in touch with the Yajna Purusha, the personality of Godhead, who's behind this whole system. Any questions there?
Brahma is called the Vedas.
Yeah, Brahma has different meanings. Here it means the Vedas. Just like, what is that? Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kaviye, who imparted the Brahma into the heart of Adi Kavi, the Lord Brahma. So what is that Brahma there? It means the Shabda Brahma.
And Adikavi is Brahma.
Yeah. Adikavi is Lord Brahma. Yeah, you took it that Tene Brahma means unto Brahma. No. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikaviye. The personality of Godhead imparted Brahma, transcendental sound, Vedic knowledge, into the heart of Adikavi. Lord Brahma, the original learned person.
Maharaj, I have one question on this. From rain comes the soul goes to the grain.
Oh, that. Is that here? That comes later, doesn't it?
Eighth
chapter. We'll deal with that when the time comes. We'll give a whole explanation of how that works for those of you who'd like to get involved with the science of yajna. We will explain that whole business. Yes? Between which and what? Could you hear?
Yajas. Yajnas or yajas?
Yaga, what is yaga?
What is yaga? Spelling? Yajaya. Yajna. It is same thing, pronunciation is different.
Another question?
at this last sentence of this verse 15 translation, consequently the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice.
Hmm.
I never really understood that. What it's
you have to follow the progression. I have to swallow this tablet first.
Previously it was said that yajna comes from karma. Karma
I
comes from
la 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 la. This is one of those items for which a scribble board would be helpful. But if you're following the progression here, the yajna is coming from the Vedas, and Krishna's Sarvagatam Brahma. So Krishna himself is the source of the Vedas, or he's not different from the Vedas. Brahma. Brahma means here, the Vedas, and they're coming from Akshara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahmakshara. So the Vedas are not different from the Personality of Godhead, or they're coming from the Personality of Godhead. And so the work that you do that comes from the Vedas, in that work, the Personality of Godhead is present because you're doing it under His direction. And then when, as a result of that work, you do yajna, the Personality of Godhead is present in the yajna because you did it from the work which came from the Vedas, which came from Him. That make it clear? Okay. All right, we do have time for Evam Pravartitam Chakram Nanu Vartayatihaya Aghayur Indriya Rama Mogham Partha Sajivati. Thus, Pravartita, established by the Vedas, Chakra. There's a cycle. We just went through that cycle. The living beings are coming from the nourished by the grains. The grains are coming from the rain. The rain is coming from the yajna. The yajna is coming from the Vedas. The Vedas is coming from the Lord. So there's a cycle. And in this cycle of sacrifice, one has to act. And one who doesn't do it that way, anuvartate, who doesn't follow, anu means following, who doesn't follow this system, iha, in this world, in this life, aghayu, his ayu, his duration of life, is agha, sinful. He's a sinful person. Indriya ramaha, he's a person who's living simply to satisfy his senses. And mogam parta sajivati, he lives for nothing. He lives uselessly. Mogam. Moghasha, moga karma, no moga gyan. Yes, he lives for nothing. Yes?
Telling the grand cycle. So, what we are reading it was one line, not
just one. It's a straight line, not a cycle. True.
It is connecting like that. So, it means like it's telling Yagya comes from Vedas, Vedas come from Krishna, so it's like.
Yeah, interesting question.
Yeah, of course, we are going to yajna for satisfaction of Vishnu, who is himself source of yajna. What is exactly connecting
the
cycle? It's like Jeremy Peshku was thinking, oh, yajna is like, supporting Vishnu, or stop yajna,
but
Vishnu will finish.
But again, by getting the grains, which are the result of the rain, which are the result of the yajna. You get grains. Now again, you can begin working. It's a cycle. It's a cycle because you got grains. Now you can go back to the beginning of the cycle and perform prescribed duties. Now, because you're performed prescribed duties, again you can perform yajna. Because you can perform yajna, now there'll be rain. Because there's rain, there'll be grain. Because there's grain, you can work and you can perform prescribed duties.
Yeah, but it's like this, but there is no Krishna.
No, when the yajna is performed,
in the
satisfied, and we should satisfy, rains come.
There's a cycle, but not that, you know, you have to come in, into your place in the cycle. There's a cycle, but we're not the origin of the cycle. We're not at the very, but there is a cycle of sacrifices in which Krishna is situated. From the body's karma, from the body's, yes. There's a connection with there. Of course, Krishna doesn't need your sacrifice, but you need to perform. You need grains. No, that's not where you have to trace the cycle. Yeah, you can. It's always possible to reason like anything. As far as I can understand, the.
Maybe the cycle is like the shape of six. Starts from top, then goes around in this one.
Well, cycle means a circle. Chakra is a circle.
You start from six, Lord Krishna,
six.
And then there. With
six?
Six, we write six like this.
Oh, I see. In any case, there's a cycle. And it's not that Vishnu is dependent on the cycle.
Starting from Krishna.
But there's a cycle. The demigods are dependent. That's also there. But there's a circle. Grains, work. So the Brahma is all pervading within the yajna, because he's giving the direction. From Lord Vishnu is coming the the prescription. You have to act according to the prescription. So that's like injected. Like, what is it in a cycle? Like, if you take a, what is that, a, there's a, an engine. What is it, say, six cycle engine, four cycle engine? Right?
Stroke.
But it's a cycle. But what makes the cycle go? There's an injection, they, fuel injection, or one way or another, the fuel is supplied. Then the cycle goes. And the fuel's everywhere in the cycle. Huh? It's not going by itself. It's not that the living beings will get grains on their own, or that they'll perform prescribed duties on their own. The prescribed duties have to come from the Vedas, and the Vedas come from the Lord. So the Lord is present in that way.
He's the life here.
He's the fuel injection system. He's giving the
perfect sadhana.
The direction by which the whole cycle is going on.
Very nice. The cycle is mentioned just after mentioning all pervading Brahma is
He's present. Because he's giving the direction, and it's his direction that's making everything possible. So therefore he's present everywhere.
Here Śrīla Prabhupāda is giving one example of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. This yajna system, all Vedas, Rig, Ved, Sham, Yajur, Atharva, comes out from Narayana.
Right.
And then this Veda ordains the Karmakanda section in this universe. And all the demigods and man, human being, they're following that. And God himself is aloof from the system.
Yeah.
And that he said, so Maharaj.
Later Krishna himself will say that although I'm Trishulokeshu Kinchana, Nanavaptam Avaptavyam, I actually have no prescribed duties. The Lord is transcendental to the system.
But circle is not like going back and going between devatas and
And there is a one connection.
Mutual satisfaction, the devotees and humans, but it's all coming from Krishna.
Yeah.
But Maharaj, one thing. Narayana, he gets the Yajna Bhaga.
Yeah, of course. The Lord receives the results of Yajna, but he's not dependent on that. He becomes happy that way. In that sense, there's a cycle. You satisfy Krishna, Krishna satisfies you, you satisfy. That's also there. In the previous verse, Ishtan Bhavyatanena Yo Deva Bhavyantiva. So the Lord sees you're doing nicely, he becomes pleased, the Lord's pleased, now you become benefited. Is that okay? Yeah.
Maharaj, I'd like to add something.
You want to add something?
Yeah. Burijan Prabhu was giving lecture, and he made a wonderful point that when the man, in the middle of ignorance, they come to perform jagna, when they're a little bit purified, their heart is a little bit purified, they associate with the pure brahmanas. And these brahmanas preach them that there is another beautiful world where you can get more sense gratification. And then their heart become more purified, then they preach themselves, they preach them, there is a one personality. It's a Lord Krishna, who is the origin of all systems.
So that's another thing, by performing yajnas, you come in touch with the Brahmins, and the Brahmins give you some spiritual direction. And what to speak of the Sankirtan yajna. If someone gets involved in the Sankirtan yajna, what happens?
Comes
in touch with devotees, huh? Shaves up. Yeah, comes in touch with devotees, and you know, one thing follows another. Takes an interest, and you know, it happens. Sankirtan yogya, therefore anandam buddhivardhanam. It's increasing everything. Param vijayate, Krishna Sankirtan. Any other questions, comments? Yes. You do.
Is it okay to consider prescribed duties of anashrama dharma to be karma yoga?
That's a good question. Is it okay to consider the prescribed duties of Varnashram to be karma yoga? That question comes up in the Nectar of Devotion class, because it's discussed by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. And it can be taken as it's taken by Rupa Goswami that, all right, this is also devotional service. Beginning. Sometimes. It's not always, sometimes we say a devotional service really begins, you know, when you're initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and you're following but from another point of view, if someone's performing prescribed duties according to Varnashram, he's beginning devotional service. That's in also there. What is that? Yata pravittir bhutanam yena sarvam idam bhuta svakarmana tamabhyarcha. Therefore, it was at the bottom. When Lord Chaitanya was discussing with Ramananda Roy, you know, what's the best thing? Well, performing prescribed duties, according to Varnashram. Well, there's got to be something more than that. Yeah, well, then there's surrendering. So, in the beginning, even just to perform your prescribed duties, that's a big thing. Not just to be willy-nilly sense-gratifying, but to say, well, no, I have to do my work. Therefore, we read earlier, karmanye vadikaraste mahapaleshu kadachi. Everyone has a right to work, but not to take the results. Well, that's Varnashram. In the Varnashram system, you have to sacrifice. Varnashram doesn't just mean working in a certain way, but giving the results of your work. Even as a sudra, you're helping in sacrifice, you're assisting someone who's ultimately going to be helping in sacrifice one way or another.
Yesterday in Bhagavatam lecture, we see the Purnaswami nice point made about this, like, that originally that Varnashram was also designed like one way of progress in a spiritual way, but then it's like, misused, it's getting like that.
Oh, well, now it's completely a mess. People use Varnashram Dharma as a way of oppression, as a way of exploitation. Not even that. Now they don't even do karmakanda. You know, Varnashram. you know, just means I'm a Brahmin, so, you know, I have a right to this, that, the other thing. You have no right because you're this. And the guy is a bum. You know, he has none of the qualifications of Brahmin, but on the basis of birthright, he's claiming to be a Brahmin and doing all rubbish. So it's now used as a, often, as a means of exploitation. Not as a means of service to the Lord, but as a means of self-aggrandizement. So that's condemned. Otherwise, the next thing is that just to perform one's prescribed duties, but the goal is sense gratification. Well, that's at least better. At least you're performing your prescribed duties. Before, you're just, you know, talking. So now you're doing it, but your goal is sense gratification. That's not very good. But at least if you sacrifice, well, by performing sacrifice, I'll get sense gratification. It's not very good, but the principle is there. Now he's giving sacrifice. He's recognizing some higher authority. He's sacrificing. Then the next thing is that I should just do it whether I get the results or not. It's my duty. I may get something or not get something. Ma paleshu kadachana. Oh, now it's much better. Now it's coming to the higher stage. Then the next thing is, oh, I should do this with devotion, actually. Not just detachment, but with appreciation for the Lord. Now it becomes better. Now, actually, I should simply devote myself to the Lord. Still better. Or be earlier stage, he thinks, no, by performing this sacrifice, it's not that I'll get things, but I'll get knowledge. Then he thinks, well, why knowledge? Let me just serve. But gradually he becomes a pure devotee. Thank you all very much. All glories to Śrīla Prabhupāda. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande. So, Mr. Vasudev, are you going back to that side? Is that what you're doing? Back to the ashram side? Are you going and coming?
I was planning to stay here. But
no, that's fine. You're staying here? Okay, that makes life easy.
Before, I want to make a little announcement.
Oh, man. We have an announcement from our respected and revered sponsor.
Hare Krishna. We've got the Gangar Sagar Mela coming up January 11th to 16th. So we've scheduled the course so that you have off, you know, break from about, depending on when Maharaj finishes, but probably the break will be around at least January 9th to 19th.
Hare Krishna. It's
free, no classes. So we scheduled it in that way so devotees could attend Gangar Sagar Mela, which is at the, where the Ganga meets Bay of Bengal, the Kapila Ashram, Ashram of Kapila Muni, where Lord Kapila Dev burnt the ashes of the ancestors of Bhagirathi, and it's a very special place, very nice place. Big Mela there, 1 million people from all over India will be in attendance. So we'll be sending 300 devotees from Mayapur for a four-day festival there where we'll be doing Harinam Sankirtan all day, book distribution to all these crowds of pilgrims, prasadam distribution, big program here. So we're all invited, all the devotees who are attending the Bhakti Shastri course are invited to participate, and there'll be a bus going from Mayapur on the 11th of January. The bus is leaving from here, and there everything is arranged. There's no fee or anything, it's all, it's going to... you know, all the accommodation, everything we're arranging, transport, everything, you just be there. And, you know, you can engage in preaching for a 3 or 4 day period. And it's a very important program. So many people come and they'll be able to see our devotees come from all over the world, and they'll be very impressed by that. So we encourage you to attend. And anyone who's interested to attend, we need your name as soon as possible. We'll put a list up here in the classroom. So in the afternoon, you can put your name on the list, because we need your devotional name and we need your legal name, because we have to register all the devotees there with the government, because ISKCON is in the capacity there of volunteer workers. So everyone needs to be registered and get a name card registered. So we recommend, we encourage you to participate in the program. I'm sure it'll be very enlivening after all the studies to go and engage in some preaching. And those of you who are not so familiar with preaching in India will also get an idea. There's Pandal program also there. We'll get an idea of the expansive preaching that goes on in India. So we encourage you to take that opportunity. And we'll have a list up there, and you write your name on there today, devotional name and legal name. Another program, after the Puri Parikrama, Puri Dham Parikrama, which is held at the end of Kartik month, then they had 5,500 devotees attending that Parikrama. And so much interest is going on at the moment in Puri, especially with regard to the Pandas and Jagannath Mandir, and there's a lot of discussion going on there about Western devotees being allowed to enter into Jagannath Mandir. So, although that discussion has been going on for many years, still going on now, and definitely these Parikramas, the Puri, you know, Pandas and people there are very much appreciative of the, you know, that's the biggest crowd they get in Puri for Parikrama. They get, you know, 100, 200 people on a Parikrama party, okay, you know, for their Parikramas. And here's ISKCON with 5,000 devotees. It's the next biggest thing to Rath Yatra. And so anyway, there's a discussion going on at the moment that with this Arya Samaj in South India, there are temples there that they're involved in, and Western people or non-Hindu people are not allowed into those temples. However, Arya Samaj have a program where Western people can do these yajna, and they get converted to become a Hindu. And they get a certificate, and with that certificate they're allowed to go into these temples. So anyway, Bhakti Purushna Maharaj is involved in a program there. These Arya Samaj people are doing a yajna, 108 yajna, a kund yajna in Bhubaneswar, and ISKCON also, we have some connection with that. So our plan is to send some Western devotees to participate in those yajnas. And, you know, in that way we're going to, you know, increase our relationships with the Arya Samaj people there, who are very much respected by the powers that be in the Puri temple. So this yajna will be going on the weekend of 22nd and 23rd, and we're looking for 5 volunteers, Western body devotees, to go down there and participate in the yajna with the ISKCON devotees in Bhubaneswar. And we will, you know, give you the, we'll organize the transport going and coming and accommodation and everything down there. So you just have to give your time for that weekend. So anyone who's interested in that program, 5 foreign devotees, then they can see me, please, today at lunchtime. So thank you.
The certificate you can enter Jagannath Mandir.
That certificate, you can get a ticket on the bus to Jagannath Puri.
No, you can't enter Jagannath Mandir, but there's some temples in South India that you can enter with. But you won't be getting a certificate. That I'm not sure whether you get the certificate, but we're involved in the yajna, and the idea is to have some Western devotees involved in this, so all these Arya Samaj and all these Puri big people, they can see, you know, our Western devotees, you know, the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas there from the Western countries. And in that way, it's a good strategy. So if you're interested to participate in that, we'll send you down there on the train and everything will be organized. And if anyone's interested, they can see me at lunchtime today. Thank you. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
We won't be concerned this time because we're looking different.
You have to go. So you're staying here, which means we can leave everything here except this one deck.
What is your program? You want to go from here directly to Dairam?
My program is I'm going from here to Ganga.
And then after to?
Then back to here.
And then?
Then Dairam is going to come by here, right?
Okay.
What's your program?
My program is to take prasad here.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you're taking prasad here. Okay. You're not coming with us.
You're going to the, I can go to the Ganga, but...
No, I mean, you're not going with us to Dairam. I assumed that that's what you were doing.
No, I...
You want to do that? I just assumed that you're on the long for the ride.
Yeah.
You know, you invite the man and you invite his assistants.
Yeah. I cannot say, like, you know.
Anyway, he's come. He'll come a quarter up. I think the Namakan and Marge will probably come with him, right? Sort this out.
I will. I prefer not to come. Because, you know...
Too much prasadam?
Not too much prasadam, this is something I'm going to ask you to take that...
This is always the tradition. That, you know, the sannyasis come and, you know, they feed the sannyasi, you feed his assistants. You know. Even, you know, you feed the big man, you feed the driver, you know.
Yeah. I don't mind to eat.
You can speak with... Figure it out when Guru Maharaj comes.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that.
But I'm going to pop in here for a second, and then I'm going to come back.
Yeah, I'll come back.
Thank you.
tomorrow is going to the Ganga.
Yeah. You might meet, yes.
Every day you can go with him if you want.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Serious?
It's not. See you later. Marsh is not a very exclusive person.
Sorry?
He's not an exclusive person.
No? It's okay to do that? Like, it's not too, I don't know, because I've thought about it, like, when I hear, you know, he goes, and I think, oh, it'd be nice to go down, but then I think, is that trying to be too familiar, you know?
No. No, I don't think so.
That's just taking opportunity to get a session.
Manas is very, like,
Is he a guru day?
Param.
Who's your guru day?
Okay.
Yeah, he's in
two
the
for the price of one.
Yeah, true. Yeah, because I was thinking of going this time anyway, every day, maybe getting someone to get me some prasadam and just going down the place.
He's quite,
because my name is
Tim.
Yeah. Oh, because of his status.
Yeah. Servant of the master, but he's the name. But I noticed it. He doesn't have too much into his privacy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've never felt
liberal to the same thing.
But, you know, also you have to, that just because there's no threat doesn't mean that you have to be.
Yeah,
you know,
there's
still respect has to be there.
Yeah. So. Oh my god!
So you gave your name?
Yeah.
To go?
Yeah. I'm going to become a Hindu.
Arya Samaj is like revolutionary, came during British period.
Well,
sorry?
It's
like revolutionary.
What is?
People who are trying to do a revolution in India. They came during British period. Now they have big influence. I just want to check which South Indian temples allow you with this editing. Interesting.
It'd be nice if I could get into, what's that one in Puri? It's just up the road from the Jagannath Mandir. I can't remember. It's like Rathi Yatra finish. Oh, Gundicha. Yeah, that's alright. As soon as I said that, I realised, hang on, I don't know which one I'm
Gundicha.
Yeah, Gundicha temple.
Gundicha is, like a garden and a big long temple.
I've been there, but they won't allow me in.
Puri, they eventually will have to allow you. They are afraid if you allow Western devotees, eventually, gradually, they will have to give up the puja and the Western devotees will...
Well, that's a fact, though.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Like, you let them in, eventually, you have to say, well, hey, what's the difference between this Brahmin and that Brahmin? Why can't this Brahmin get on the altar? All right, we'll put him on the altar.
And then Jagannath is yours next.
Then all of a sudden, David Ridaswami disciples are the only ones doing puja there. It's just like another temple.
It's ultimately up to Jagannath in TV. So you are going to get converted too?
Never.
Never. You don't want to do it? No, what's your objection to it?
I know Arya Samaj.
Yeah.
I never say what is in the Yagya. I never become a Hindu.
Arya Samaj.
Arya Samaj.
Something modern, yeah.
They reject deity worship, they reject
many traditional practices.
They reject the Puranas, they reject Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita.
Just Upanishad based.
Yeah, they worship Omkar, they completely impersonalists.
But is it a safe thing going and doing this or not?
I don't know. If I would do such a thing, I would definitely ask an opinion from spiritual master or any senior. Yeah.
only this would happen.
No, the reason is this. No, it's something socially what you call.
Yeah, it's a social thing. It's not also not really, it's not a philosophical thing.
Yeah, it's something socially secure. It will make you socially secure, but it's not any spiritual law.
No, it's nothing spiritual.
But I think they're not going to convert you into a Hindu. Just.
But I'm not going for the fact that to try and, you know.
To get converted, just to see what is going there.
Yeah,
it's okay. That's what they're saying. They're not sending devotees to get converted into Hindus. They're just saying.
So they just want to have a presence there.
Yeah.
That's the reason I'm wanting to go.
It's a
even wondering philosophically if okay.
Even Bhubaneswar, I mean, I've been there, so I don't, you know, particularly want to go for the fact of even travelling, you know. No, but I don't even want to go for the fact of travelling, which it's a great opportunity to just do that. I think it's just because they want, you know, Western devotees. It's kind of asking, so, you know.
Yeah.
Arya Samaj, Ramananda Roy, all these bunch of rascals came all together then during the same time. I think Ramananda Roy formed it because Ramananda Roy's sister, Ramananda Roy, he's not this Ramananda Roy we are talking about.
That's what I was thinking, you're calling him a rascal. I was thinking,
this Ramananda Roy, not in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't know whether it's Ramananda or not.
This is one Ananda.
His name also starts with R, and he's a Roy. And he's a Brahmana also. And his sister-in-law became a sati. She burnt herself on the pyre. And it is said actually her relations forced her to do that. And this particular person, he got really upset about that. And he thought he made a movement which they encouraged people to reject all the traditional Vedic practices.
Should we get a spot for shade?
Because of that, this is how Arya Samaj came up.
Yeah, this
in Holland,
yeah.
I thought they are not very popular these days. Because in like...
They are like very... it's like a typical degenerated form of Hinduism. Very ritualistic, very dead.
I was just shocked to hear that some South Indian temples accept their certificate.
Yeah, that's not true.
Because they are like revolutionists.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to ask Atul Krishna Prabhu, which South Indian temples accept their certificates?
Yeah.
Then better they accept certificate from ISKCON, you know, these people, the person is initiated according to Pancharatra and...
You don't have much understanding. Yeah.
Funny.
Also, if you go to Tirupati, you go to the bookshops. ISKCON had one book table and some bookshops are there. You find all the books of Vivekananda, Ramakrishna.
But they have a separate Sri Vaishnava bookshop also. But nobody goes there. Because majority are Hindus, not Vaishnavas.
Yeah.
Vaishnavas are only people who do the puja and minority is always Vaishnavas, but majority is Hindus. But Tirupati, they allow ISKCON devotees inside.
Yeah. Yeah, they have one book stand there. That's a great place for preaching this temple complex, for Harinam also. You could do everyday Harinam and people still there.
And it's a very beautiful place too.
Yeah.
Compared to.
Yeah. They get now every day like 5,000 pilgrims already to the temple. Some days up to 7,000. They expect it to go up to 10,000 a day. 10,000-15,000. Because now it's just open.
It's like a small festival every day.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like that going on. Every morning program we get 500 devotees from all around congregation. Yeah, it's like all the time Sankirtan Yagya. That is the whole idea.
And Sri Vaishnavas also very supportive to Gaudiya Vaishnavas compared to.
Yeah, they work together.
Like, even though we are coming from Madhya Sampradaya, Madhya Vaishnavas don't support us. Generally. Orthodox Madhva Vaishnavas didn't like us.
Yeah, we have more in common actually with Sri Sampradaya in our philosophy. I think Lord Chaitanya took from Ramanuja the deity worship.
And Vaishnava Seva.
Vaishnava Seva. And I think also the idea of performing devotional service without karma and yama. You read the prayers of the Avas, very advanced on the Vedic.
Alvars are like Goswamis, they are like prophets.
Yeah, like for example, Kulashekar, you read his prayers, it's very
beautiful.
You know, he prays birth after birth, and you read the servant of the servant.
Yeah, sounds like Gaudiya Vaishnava.
Yeah.
And at the time of death, I should remember your lotus feet. That is the only benediction I am asking for. Yeah. Kulashekar was a king, and he was an emperor, and he's prayers. Yes. And they have even outcast Alvars. Some Alvars are from Chandala families, but they are accepted as authorities when Ramanujacharya worshipped them.
Yeah. So they also rejected this.
And they give Pancharatrik initiation to anyone.
Anyone.
You can't get sacred thread, but you get Pancharatrik Diksha.
So just like Lord Chaitanya, he made the Mahamantra available to everyone. So certainly Ramanuja also, he made the.
Yeah.
He got the secret mantra from his guru, and he went out to the marketplace and he gave it.
Yeah, his guru, he told him the meaning of Om Namo Narayanaya, and he told the meaning of this mantra can deliver the whole world, and if you tell this to anybody else, you will go to hell.
Yeah.
And next day he climbed on top of the temple and he told it to everybody, and then his guru came and said, "You are a guru drohi, you are offender to your guru. You know what is the reaction for this thing you have done." And Rama just said, "I know I'm going to go to hell, so what's the problem? So many people get delivered, only one person is going to hell. So it is actually a profit, you know." So then his guru was very pleased and he blessed him. You understood the real purpose of Vaishnavism. Ramanuja was much more like Gaudiya Vaishnava. Even Madhva was, but Madhva's followers aren't. Because Madhvacharya, he originally came from Smartha background, so they have this like rigid, because their aim is to perform Varnashrama Dharma perfectly to Krishna's satisfaction. Yeah. So they do not want to pollute.
Only the Brahmanas, they can go back to Godhead, no?
Yeah.
But they first go to the heavenly planets and then go.
Yeah, then they get delivered with Brahman.
They first have to become Brahmana.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
And their philosophy, according to philosophy, there are three different categories, like Sattvic living entities, Rajasic and Tamasic.
Nichabada, they take it very literally.
Yeah. And if you are...
But that comes from Madhva itself.
Yeah. If you are a tamasic living entity, you have no hope to go to Vaikuntha. Only who are destined to go to Vaikuntha, they will go to Vaikuntha. If you are not.
Yeah.
In that case, we are very fortunate.
Yeah.
I don't know why Mahaprabhu accepted Madhva Sampradaya.
Only reason why he accepted this is that they put complete emphasis that Krishna's form is spiritual.
Oh, okay.
That is why he accepted this Sampradaya.
Interesting.
That the form of the Lord is spiritual without any compromise with the Mayavadis.
They accept the deity also to be the self-same Lord Hari, or?
Yeah.
But somebody told me that they install Paramatma inside the deity and they worship that Paramatma, not the material involvement in the deity. Ramanuja Sampradaya, they accept deity to be self-same Lord.
I don't know. You
think so? Yeah, sure.
You're taking off?
I don't know yet. care, my friend.
Thank you.
हफ्ते में लेके हम लेके आते हैं आलस
इसी रहा सर्व करने के
लास्ट में पहले पत्ते में भर ले रहे
ये सर्व करने के फिर आलस काम
मैं खा लेता हूँ देखो पहले भी कुछ आते हैं तो नॉन क्या होता है